Council come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Barnhart Berger. Berger Beyer. Beyer Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Boquist Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Butler Cameron. Cameron Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Cowan Dallum. Dingfelder. Dingfelder Chris Edwards. Chris Edwards David Edwards. David Edwards Esquivel. Flores. Flores Galizio. Galizio Gerard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gilman Gerard. Gerard Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Jensen Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Krieger Crummel. Lim. Lim McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Minnis Morgan. Nathanson. Nathanson Nelson. Nelson Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Shields Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Patty Smith Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Wisnet Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Burley. Cowan. Dingfelder. David Edwards. Flores. Galizio. Gilman. Jensen. Lim. Minnis. Nathanson. Nelson. Shields. Patty Smith. Wisnet.
We have a quorum. When we recessed, we were under third reading of House bills. Clerk will read messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bill 693, 747, 74, 816, 23, 69, 699, 716, 8, 124, 208, 257, 417, 432, 545, 559, and 629.
Clerk will read the first House bill.
House Bill 3290 relating to hospital reporting of community benefits.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3290. Representative Greenlick.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much.
Colleagues, before Representative Greenlick proceeds, I would ask everyone, colleagues, to give Representative Greenlick your undivided attention. Thank you very much.
Or actually, even your divided attention would be fine. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm delighted to carry House Bill 3290 to the floor with a unanimous vote out of the Health Care Committee. There are 57 hospitals in Oregon. 55 of them are nonprofit, and 2 of them are for-profit. But the difference between a nonprofit hospital and a for-profit hospital is not whether a hospital gets more revenue than it has costs. It's what happens to the difference between revenue and cost. And in a profit-making hospital, they do a variety of things, save for reserves, save for building future, a variety of things, and they distribute profit to the shareholders who own the company. In nonprofit hospitals, they're all run by community boards on behalf of the community. And as a part of being a nonprofit hospital, they have a special status. They're nonprofit and tax exempt. That comes under the federal IRS code 501c3, which defines nonprofit eleemosynary institutions as being nonprofit and tax exempt. An eleemosynary institution is one that's chartered for the public good. Now the question is, how do we know whether or not a nonprofit hospital really does serve the public good? And the definition out of the IRS code is about the extent to which they provide community benefits, usually education, research, charitable care, and the like. Up till now, we really haven't been able to have the information that allows us to judge the extent to which a hospital does provide this community benefit. House Bill 3290 is a joint effort of the Hospital Association and the healthcare consumer advocates to try and come up with a common system that will allow us to really understand the extent to which a hospital provides a community benefit. The problem up till now is the basis upon which community benefit has been reported. Those of you that have ever been in a hospital know that you got this mythical hospital bill that has $12 charges for aspirin and $4,200 charges for the use of an endoscopy room. Well, the fact is nobody pays those charges, or almost nobody at any rate. I was recently in the hospital. I got that mythical bill for $50,000, and it turned out my insurance company paid $10,000 of the $50,000, and that settled the bill. Well, up till now, hospitals have been reporting their community benefit on the basis of that mythical charge. 3290 does a very simple thing. It gets the hospitals to report their community benefit activities, their charitable care, their subsidy of social programs in terms of real costs rather than mythical charges. The hospitals turn out to be happy to do it because there's now a national standard for doing it. Hospitals in many states do it this way now. The Hospital Association proposed this bill and worked out the kinks with the Oregon Health Action Committee. And what you have in front of you today, is a bill that will provide clarity on the extent to which hospitals provide community benefit. It turns out there's no fiscal with this bill because the Oregon Office of Health Policy and Research collects data from hospitals now. They collect this data. They just don't know what to make of it. This will simply give them data that they can understand and report with some certainty. My colleagues, I urge your yes vote on House Bill 3290.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Greenlick, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 3290A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 3353, relating to persons applying pesticides.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3353A. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 3353 comes to the floor from the House Business and Labor Committee. It removes the pesticide applicator licensing exemption for individuals engaged in maintaining home or commercial lawns, shrubs, or gardens. This means that individuals whose principal business is commercially applying pesticides will have to be licensed with the Oregon Department of Agriculture and trained on how to properly use and apply pesticides. In addition, this bill modifies existing statutes relating to issuing and renewing pesticide trainees' licenses by modifying the fees charged for a pesticide trainee license. The bill allows the Oregon Department of Agriculture to set the price of a trainee license to be lower than that of a regular applicator license. Currently, trainee licenses and pesticide applicator licenses are the same price, even though the trainee licenses do not have the same level of authorization. House Bill 3353 makes sense from a public health standpoint. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? See none. Representative Holvey, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those are opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 3353A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 3354, relating to electrical installations by landscaping businesses.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3354A. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Licensed contractors are currently exempt from electrical safety law if they are only performing limited energy electrical activity involving landscape irrigation, control wiring, and outdoor landscape lighting. However, technology changes have necessitated potential statutory changes. For instance, many low-voltage lighting transformers have multiple outputs ranging from 12 to 22 volts. The National Electrical Code, a standard for the safe installation of electrical wiring and equipment, has recognized these changes, while current Oregon statute does not. House Bill 3354A changes the parameters of the exemption to allow installations of irrigation control wiring and outdoor landscape lighting, which involves a Class 2 or Class 3 system that does not exceed 30 volts and 750 volt amperes. This change balances the voltage of common products that are installed in landscaping projects and design demands of the landscaping industry with current safety consideration. There has been, I've heard of no opposition to this bill, and it passed unanimously out of the House Committee on Business and Labor. I think good bill should pass. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 3354A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Clerk will read the resolution.
SJR 20, declaring state policy to promote and facilitate development of telecommunications network model for healthcare and education communities.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of Senate Joint Resolution Number 20. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I could go through all the technical jargon that this bill encompasses, but plain language says this bill allows the healthcare communities and the education communities to develop a network so they can talk to each other and share data. Good bill, should pass. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Riley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those are opinion of the resolution should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Senate Joint Resolution 20, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 8, relating to health benefit plan coverage of chemotherapy. Senate Bill 23, relating to expanded option program and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 69, relating to emergency lottery computer database. Senate Bill 74, relating to election conducted at polling places. Senate Bill 124, relating to ballot titles. Senate Bill 208, relating to elections to practice at naturopathic medicine. Senate Bill 257, relating to variable annuities. Senate Bill 417, relating to banning commissions appropriate money. Senate Bill 432, relating to shipwrecking and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 545, relating to process regulated by state mortuary and cemetery board. Senate Bill 559, relating to workers' compensation guarantee contract. Senate Bill 629, relating to criminal judgments, declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 693, relating to trustees. Senate Bill 699, relating to parking facilities in the state capitol and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 716, relating to parking for persons with disabilities. Senate Bill 747, relating to racing. Senate Bill 816, relating to taxation.
Bills read first time or passed the speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5503, relating to financial administration, the Commission for the Blind, appropriated money, and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5538, relating to financial administration, the Oregon Racing Commission, and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5546, relating to state financial administration, and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5524, relating to financial administration of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5524A. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, good afternoon. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends a budget of $123,178,677 other funds and 225.68 full-time equivalent positions for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The OLCC works to regulate the sale, distribution, and responsible use of alcoholic beverages to protect public health and safety. Private agents contract with OLCC to operate 243 liquor stores in the state, and the OLCC licenses more than 116,000 servers and more than 9,800 retail businesses, such as restaurants or convenience stores that sell or serve alcohol directly to the public. This budget will enable the agency to achieve an estimated $852 million in liquor sales by making permanent six limited duration warehouse distribution workers approved in 2006 and adding a manager and a support position to enable the creation of a swing shift. At the same time, this budget will allow OLCC to step up its enforcement efforts with the addition of five liquor control inspectors. In addition, the recommended budget will reduce the turnover time necessary to license bars, restaurants, and other purveyors by providing expenditure limitation for completion of information technology improvements begun in 05-07, and the addition of one limited duration licensing investigation position. The agent's average compensation rate of 8.88% of sales has been maintained. The agency's performance measure targets have been adjusted to reflect the additional licensing and enforcement resources included in this budget recommendation. Measures were added to determine customer satisfaction and best oversight practices utilized by the Commission. Five measures that were output rather than outcome-based were deleted. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5524 as amended.
Further discussion, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 5524, I rise in opposition. I again stand that we do not have sufficient information to see if this bill fits into the overall budget, so therefore I hope you join me in opposing Senate Bill 5524.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hanna, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No.
Call of the House. Who called? Representative Roblin did a call of the House. Joining him are Representative Greenlick, Representative Dallum, Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Olson, and Representative Holvey. The doorkeeper will bar the doors. Sergeant Arms at 10, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Galizio Garrard. Gilzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hanna. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Jensen Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Krieger Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Morgan Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Galizio. Jensen.
All members are present. Representative Cameron, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please go ahead and state your potential conflict for the record.
I have a family member who's a licensed distributor by the OLCC.
Your potential conflict is noted for the record. Those who are of opinion that Senate Bill 5524A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Girard, for what purpose do you rise?
To declare a potential conflict.
Colleagues, can we have the conversation down just a bit? Please go ahead and state your potential conflict for the record.
My brother is a OLCC. He sells liquor.
Duly noted for the record. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Hunt votes aye. Rosenbaum votes aye. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Aye. He votes aye. And Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. Senate Bill 5524A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill. Representative Wisnett is in the queue. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Return to courtesies, please.
And Wisnett requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Is there an objection? Seeing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I'd like to introduce some constituents from Deschutes County. We have Tim Rusk, who's a staff director of our Morning Star Relief Nursery. Barbara Belzer, who is our board treasurer. And Joyce Norman, who is board vice president. As you know, relief nurseries are very important to a very special need, and they do a great job. Welcome.
Very good to have you with us. Are there further courtesies? Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 103 related to hazardous waste generation.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 103. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 103 comes to you from the House Energy and Environment Committee. This is a bill that will allow DEQ to raise fees modestly in order to conduct its hazardous waste and compliance work on the 114 million pounds of hazardous waste that is generated in this state annually. This fee increase will allow DEQ to maintain 1.65 positions that will ensure that DEQ is able to maintain primacy over this program, not give it up to the federal EPA. We heard no testimony in opposition to this bill. It passed the Energy and Environment Committee unanimously. I encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close?
No, thanks.
He does not. Those opinion that Senate Bill 103 should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Lim votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Representative Burley votes aye. Representative Maurer votes aye. Representative Flores votes aye. Representative Nelson votes no. And Representative Butler votes no. Senate Bill 103, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 106 relating to heating oil tanks and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 106A. Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, if you like that last one, you'll love this one too. Senate Bill 106A increases the filing fee when a report is submitted to the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality documenting the decommissioning or cleanup of a heating oil tank.
The added funds will allow DEQ to adequately oversee the work performed by DEQ-licensed contractors who provide these services to homeowners. DEQ receives about 2,500 closure reports annually. This workload has diminished the department's ability to conduct inspections and service provider audits. Over the past few years, DEQ has discovered that some licensed service providers or contractors have provided false certifications to homeowners and false closure reports to the department. In one of these cases, the service provider was convicted on a criminal charge of providing false information to the department. Senate Bill 106A increases the filing fee from $50 to $75 for decommissionings and from $125 to $200 for cleanups. The added funds will allow DEQ to adequately oversee the work performed by DEQ-licensed contractors who provide these services to homeowners by maintaining the four existing positions in the program and adding one full-time position to focus on auditing service providers. Without the increased fees, DEQ will not have an effective heating oil tank service provider audit capability, say that three times fast, and homeowners will be more at risk of fraud. Thank you for the opportunity, and please support this bill.
Further discussion? Representative Burley, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that Senate Bill 106A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Crummell votes aye. Representative Shoffler, how do you vote? Shoffler votes no. Representative Nathanson votes no. Representative Chris Edwards, how do you vote? He votes no. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist. Representative Boquist is off the floor. Senate Bill 106A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 241, relating to commercial fisheries.
Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 241A. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 241A comes from you with a unanimous vote from the Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy. The bill expands the Commercial Fisheries Permit Board by adding three representatives of the Developmental Fisheries and three representatives of the Restricted Participation System. Senate Bill 241A further clarifies the appeals process for the board decisions. Appeals of Commercial Fisheries Permit Board decisions will be reviewed as contested case hearings. Contested case orders may be further appealed to the Court of Appeals. There was no opposition from the commercial fish industry in the bill. On the bill, urge your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close? He does not. Those opinion the Senate Bill 241A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards votes no. Representative Burley votes. Representative Burley? Representative Burley, are you on the floor? He is off the floor. Representative Dallum votes aye. Representative Cameron, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to turn my nay to yay.
Representative Cameron changes his vote to a yay. Senate Bill 241A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 570, relating to animal emergency operation plans.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 570A. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 570A requires the Oregon, the Office of Emergency Management and the Department of Agriculture to develop written emergency operations plans for animals and livestock during a major disaster. Among the many lessons learned from the Katrina and Rita events was the understanding that people's attachments to family pets must be considered when planning for disaster management. And closer to home, we have many real-life stories that attest to the importance of this consideration. The Tillamook County flood events remind us that significant loss of livestock as a result of natural disasters will seriously threaten economic stability. And during a tsunami warning response in Walport, emergency responders addressed several instances where people, particularly the elderly, refused to leave their homes without their pets, and in a real-life tsunami would most likely have perished. It's important to note that Senate Bill 570A emphasizes the protection of human life and limits liability in the rescue of a companion animal, while adding a necessary component to our disaster response planning. It will ask planning efforts to address the evacuation, transport, and temporary shelter needs for animals during the emergency. As a pet lover, I urge your support for this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I just want to urge your support of this. This is important.
To the bill?
To the bill, I'm sorry. Okay. This is an important bill. This is something that the federal government has asked us to do, and we're happy to do. And as a pet owner and pet lover, too, I totally understand how that would be if someone came to my home and said, you must leave and leave your pets here. There are lots of stories about what happened during the disaster in New Orleans and about people's pets being sent to other states, and they still haven't returned them. So please support this really great bill and support your Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I also rise in support of Senate Bill 570 and wanted to mention that if you have not seen it, there is a film that was made by local filmmakers, one of whom, well, actually, they both live in my district, Mike Shiley and Kim Upham, called Darkwater Rising. And it is the story of the pet rescues during Katrina. And it's really a heartrending story of the impact that this bill, I think, could help alleviate. I also had the occasion to be in New Orleans not too long ago, and still traveling around the lower Ninth Ward, you see spray painted on the houses, as they searched house to house, the dogs and the cats and the birds and the animals that were left behind. So I think that one of the things we were told is that really very often the reason people were still in their homes is because they couldn't take their pets and they weren't willing to leave their animals. So I think having a plan for how to deal with this in the case of a disaster is very much what we should be doing here in Oregon. I'm very glad to see the bill, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cowan, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those with an opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Barnhart votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 578, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 200, relating to the disciplinary authority of the State Board of Pharmacy.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 200A. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 200 comes to us from the House Committee on Health Care, where it passed unanimously. This bill was brought by the State Board of Pharmacy to increase civil penalties assessed for violations in disciplinary proceedings. The Senate version had a general increase from 1,000 to 5,000. We ended up amending that to a two-tier system. We left the penalty at $1,000 for individual pharmacists' violations because it was believed that the greater problem was with the drug outlets and the big companies that were, for example, mail order vendors and retail stores and wholesalers and companies that may be marketing in the gray market. So we changed that to a two-tier with a $1,000 penalty for individuals and a $10,000 penalty for drug outlets. Additionally, Senate Bill 200 makes clear that the board can take action against a licensee even if the license is lapsed, suspended, surrendered, or revoked. What happened is that sometimes the companies were surrendering their license to avoid a disciplinary proceeding. We made one final change from the Senate version in the House, and that was to delete the provision allowing an assessment of costs in the administrative hearing. And we did that because the administrative law section of the Oregon Bar Association raised some concerns about the lack of standards and specificity expressed in the bill for that assessment of costs in the proceedings. And the Board of Pharmacy decided to delete that, agreed to delete that provision to not slow down the bill. So I encourage your aye vote on Senate Bill 200. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Dallum, how do you vote? Dallum votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? He votes aye. And Representative Brian Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist, he votes aye. Senate Bill 200A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 400, relating to employment relations and public collective bargaining.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 400B. Representative Shuffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that Senate Bill 400 be laid on the table.
Representative Shuffler moves that Senate Bill 400 be laid on the table. The motion is not debatable. Those of the opinion that Senate Bill 400 should be tabled will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Motion to table, having received the required majority of those present, is adopted. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent that Representative Garrard, the rules be suspended and Representative Garrard be allowed to vote again on House Bill 3353. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Hunt asks for unanimous consent that Representative Garrard be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 3353. It will not change the outcome. Representative, was there an objection? Hearing none, Representative Garrard, how do you vote?
Change my no vote to aye.
Representative Garrard changes his vote to aye. Are there further announcements? Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Garrard to change his vote on House Bill 3353.
Representative Hunt asks for unanimous consent to allow Representative Garrard to change his vote on House Bill 3353. Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Garrard, how do you vote?
I'd like to change my vote to aye.
He changes his vote from nay to yea. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent that Representative Gilliam and anyone else whose name begins with the last name begins with the letter G to change their vote on House Bill 3353. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Hunt asks for unanimous consent to allow Representative Gilliam to change his vote on House Bill 3353. Is there an objection? Hearing none, Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
He votes aye. Representative Hunt. No more. Are there any further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One second.
I know. I'm trying to find my note.
One second, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to bring to your attention, colleagues, about the event that occurred this afternoon at Virginia Tech University. And there is a statement by Dave Frohnmayer, the president of the University of Oregon, and I just thought I would read it here on the floor. It says, "This is a horrifying event. Our sympathy goes out to the students, their families, and the faculty and staff of Virginia Tech. I cannot conceive of the sense of loss they must all be experiencing. I have written to the president expressing our sorrow and our offer of support if we can be of any help in any way." And I think, Mr. Speaker, that we should offer our help as a legislature to the legislature of the state of Virginia, that if there's anything we can do to help them get through this absolute horrifying tragedy, we should make that offer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Krummel. Are there further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Rosenbaum. We would like to adjourn to 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2007.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 17, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.